Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women and gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay, bisexual, or trans man. If you have any comments to make about this broadcast, please feel free to write me at bonkay@aol.com. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have or hook you up to any of the guests that I have on the show. So before we get started on our show for tonight, I just wanted to mention to women who are out there who are looking for support that I do have wonderful Zoom meetings going on every other week. And if you are interested in joining me and some wonderful women who can relate to everything you're going through, in a very supportive and nurturing and unthreatening kind of environment, just send me a note at bonkay@aol.com, and I'll be happy to move forward with you from there. Tonight I'd like to welcome back one of my favorite speakers in the whole world, my friend Susan from California. Susan, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me, Bonnie.
Thank you for being here again, Susan. We had you here a couple of weeks ago, and we really got thrown off track because you had signed up for something that I just didn't give you. I was going to have you on here to talk about your healing experience, and because I love listening to your input so much and so much that you have to say, I went off track with you and talked about a lot of the issues that we all have to go through. So I do apologize for having you back again, taking up your time more.
Oh.
By talking about your healing journey. But I want people to really learn from you what you've learned through this whole journey of healing to help them move forward. So leave it with you.
Yeah, well, you know, it's obviously the most important part, that we've got to heal, and nobody's going to make this happen except for ourselves. It's not something anybody's going to do for us. It's nothing that we can wait for something else to happen to instigate it, such as, you know, women wait for closure from the gay husband, or to hear something specific, an apology, or whatever, whatever it is, and then they feel they have to have that in order to start healing, and that's just not the case, because most women get no closure whatsoever. They just don't. And unfortunately, most, not all, most of the husbands are actually not genuinely sorry. They're just not. And so we're really not going to get from them what we need to heal. So it's up to us to do it ourselves. And I know a lot of women kind of get stuck because they feel like if they get better, then it means that what their ex-husband, partner, whomever, the gay ex did to them, it means, oh, it must not have been that bad, right? It wasn't that important. It wasn't that, look how well you're doing now. And that's just simply not true at all. And the other thing I find from talking to women that have been in this position is they don't want to put in the work to heal because they say, well, it's not my fault. Why should I have to put in the work? Well, that's because, unfortunately, you're the victim in this. And it's no different than if you're driving down the street, you've got a green light, and a drunk driver comes the other way and blasts through a red light and T-bones your car, and you end up with severe physical injuries. That accident was absolutely 100% not your fault. However, you're the one left with broken legs and a broken pelvis and all these other things that you have to rehab yourself from. And it's unfortunate that in life things happen to us that are not our fault, but yet we have to do the work in order to get better as they waltz off into the sunset, right? Happy as a clam, not a care in the world, like they did nothing wrong. And again, not all of them. I don't want to speak to all gay men that married straight women as being awful people, but I have found just from the myriad of women that I have spoken to about this subject that a disproportionate number of these men are. So the bottom line is he's going to do or be, excuse me, or give you or not give you whatever. You are not under control of that. The only thing that you can control is how do I move forward? How do I move forward with my life? And we've already lost so many years of our life to this gay man where we lived in a fraudulent situation. And so why would we want to waste any more time obsessing on that, trying to live in the past, going over and over the past in our mind? And believe me, I mean, I'm 12 years out now. And it took a long time to get to the 12 years to get to the place where I am now. And for the first several years, I was in a really bad way. So I can identify with a lot of women that just carry around this just deep guttural sadness with them all the time. Or they carry around a lot of deep-seated anger with them as well, which could be very hurtful to not just our psyches, but our physical health as well. It affects all of our relationships when we're just angry all the time, when we're mad all the time, when we feel like we've done wrong and the world can't seem to make it right for us. So again, we're the only ones that can make it right, and that doesn't make that situation right, by the way. It just means you're trying to get your train back on the tracks. You're trying to ride the train and get the train back on the tracks. So what I found in my case, and this is just, you know, every healing journey is an individual journey for women because we're all different. We've all had different experiences, been married or partnered up with this man for different amounts of time. Some women have children with these men that they still have to co-parent. They still have to talk to this person. And I think that that probably makes it even more difficult. I didn't have my children with my gay ex-husband, so I very easily got to go no contact with him. And I can tell you that that's very, very helpful, not knowing I don't ever have to see him again. But not everyone is as lucky, you know. They're just not as lucky to be able to do that. So what kind of worked for me? Well, first of all, there's so many things that I did. I really, really worked at it. And I do give myself a pat on the back for that. And my friends all say that they've never seen anybody work harder to get better from an emotional trauma than me. And I consider that a really, really big compliment because it is a lot of hard work. Obviously, there's the whole support system, which is what you provide so beautifully, Bonnie. And I can't tell you, I've said it once, I'll say it a million more times until the day I die, is your resource is absolutely invaluable to people. And I found you online, like probably everybody else found you online as well, and that you have taken your own sad, awful situation and turned it in a way to help other people in that situation. I mean, it speaks volumes to who you are as a human being, but it is such a vital and necessary thing. And I don't know that there's a lot out there for women in this specific predicament. I mean, there's support groups for everything all over the place, but I mean, when you tell someone that you were married to a gay man and you didn't know it and it left you emotionally traumatized, they just kind of stare at you with a blank face because they don't even know what to say. So there's not really a lot of support out there. There just isn't. And like with a lot of emotional trauma, people will care for a very short period of time. And they just want you back to your normal self. They just want you to be happy. They just don't want to see you miserable anymore. But there's really nothing that they can do to help you except for maybe to support you in that journey, help make it easy for you to get help. So maybe you have small children and you need to go see a therapist for an hour. Maybe somebody can help you with the kids for an hour. I mean, there's some practical things that friends or neighbors or relatives or whomever, coworkers can do to help. But at the end of the day, it's us individually that does the work on ourselves that's going to heal themselves. So what I did,
Susan, can I just ask you a question before you go on?
Sure.
All right, just make a point and see if you agree with me. You know, I've been doing this for a long time, I guess over 40 years. And one thing I will say is that I'm a great sense of support for women who want to be supported by me. But I'm not the only game in town because some women don't agree with me. Some women feel, they want to try to make their marriages work or they want to stay there for whatever reasons. And I never tell people don't do it. I tell people what the truth is, whether they want to be there. You know, I tell them I may not be the right source of support. There's a lot of other groups out there. And so I guess the point I'm bringing is that if you go to a group, and let's say you don't happen to agree with them, don't give up because there's other groups out there that you'll find that you do agree with. Would you say that's true?
Well, sure. And I mean, I think it all depends upon what it is that you're looking for. I mean, what I was looking for was to just get really real about the situation, get really real about why I was in it to begin with, and to get really real about why I struggled so badly after he left. I was so traumatized, and to get really real about what I needed to do in order to move forward. I think some people, how do I put this? And everybody marches to the beat of their own drummer, and they have to make decisions. And, you know, there's a price to pay either way this is handled. I mean, this is thrust upon you. If you stay with this man, you're only going to get more of same, if not worse, right? So there's a price to pay for that. But, you know, divorce is not easy. Going out on your own is not easy. There's women that haven't worked in many years, and they've got small children. And so there's a huge price to pay for leaving that marriage and trying to support a second household and going back to work and trying to find affordable child care. And I could just go on and on for days. And even if you don't have children with that man or you don't have small children at all, divorce is not easy. Divorce sucks. I mean, it's bad.
Right.
It's never good. I mean, maybe for a few, they're finally, you know, they're so glad to be away from a man that they just feel a big sense of relief. But for most people, their finances are turned upside down. Not a lot of them are left with money. You know, like I say, they have to figure out how they're going to survive by themselves for the rest of their lives or for the foreseeable rest of their lives. And so that is a big price to pay, too. And I think sometimes a lot of women go back to the marriage, don't want to leave the marriage because, well, it's crappy, but it's like an abused woman who stays in the marriage. At least they know what they're in for, right? At least they know what they're dealing with and that way they don't have to do all that other stuff. So that's their choice. If that's what they want to do, that is their choice, but it's not going to get better. I can tell you that from the plethora of women I've spoken to that have tried that. It only gets worse because now the cat is out of the bag. now you've got his number. Now, you know, when he doesn't come home, and when, you know, he says he went to Home Depot, or, you know, mine always went running or cycling or something like that when they were off screwing around with men. And now you know what they're up to. You know, it's sort of like the jig is up. They know that you're on to them, and they hate that. But it depends upon the arrangement a woman has with her gay husband. I mean, if they can find some satisfaction staying together some way, somehow, more power to you. I just don't know how that happens personally, but if they can do it, that's fine. But I think my point is this. If you go to a support group, or you go to a therapist, or you go to a workshop, or you read a book, or whatever it is that you're doing to try to help yourself, to just tell you something that agrees with you, you're not growing, and you're not healing. You're staying stuck, and you're finding people that are going to tell you what you want to hear so you don't have to put in the work to heal. That's a bold statement, and I'm sorry if that offends people. And that's probably going to offend people. But I think that that is the truth, because healing is painful. When you look at a physical injury, you know, let's take that whole car accident analogy I was giving you. When those people go through physical therapy, it's agonizingly painful to learn to walk again. There is physical pain beyond what they think they can even bear. It is painful to have to deal with these things straight in your face and learn how to deal with them. But through all that pain, there's another side to that where the healing starts to happen. And you start to feel better than you have felt in years and years, and in some cases, your entire life, because part of a healing journey with any trauma that's happened in your life is not just dealing with the incident that happened, right? We're not just dealing with the gay man. When you go to a therapist, you're talking about what happened to you when you were a kid, because however we react to things as an adult with trauma, however we respond to that, we were set up for that back when we were a child. So you got to figure out some of that crap in order to deal with the trauma of today. And in my case, my ex left in a physical manner, very similar, in a very eerie way similar, to how my father left my family when I was an 8-year-old little girl. The words he said, the walking out of the house, the driving away, I could, it was almost like a, if you took snapshots of these different scenes, they would be almost identical. So it's the reason why my reaction to my husband leaving was so traumatic for me, because I had never dealt with all this other crap from, you know, prior in my life. So the bottom line is, we all have that. You might not know you have it. You don't have an identical situation. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. We've all got something. But we were set up to respond to things in our adult life, and I've learned this, by the way, from a lot of workshops I attended, by how our parents taught us, mimicking our parents, going against her, however we were, we are. We can choose our reactions to things. So one of the things is, that's a painful reality, is if I'm angry, I think, well, it's not my fault I'm angry, right? It's not my fault I'm angry. I didn't choose to be angry. Well, in a way we do. And I didn't want to hear that. I go, are you kidding me? I thought it was an insult to me. Can you won't believe what this guy did to me, because he was bad. He was really, I mean, he cleaned out our bank accounts. I could just go on. He was a bad guy. What do you mean you're telling me I don't have a right to be angry? No, it's not, you know, this is a therapist. No, I'm not telling you don't have a right to be angry. But to stay in that anger forever, that's a choice. And so you're going to have to find a substitute for that in order to heal. Anyway, so I'm giving you that as an example of, I think a lot of people, it's a lot of reason why people do not want to go to therapists, especially men in marriage. Try dragging a man to marriage counseling. They don't want to go to a therapist. They don't want to hear what this person has to say. They don't want to have to do it. They don't want to have to be told that maybe they're wrong, or they're not being fair, or they have work to do. They don't want to do that. But if you're real about healing, then you got to be real about yourself and your place in that healing process. This shit, for lack of a better term, let's just call it that, has already happened to you. That's done. You cannot turn the clock back. As much as we want to, and as much as we want it to go away and never have happened, I want to share something with you. And by the way, there were several people in several of your healing weekends over the years that I've been to that actually said the same thing to me. I actually went, and I'm more than happy to share this honestly, and I'm an educated person. I know better than this. I was so desperate, I did it anyway. I went to a psychiatrist to ask them if there was some kind of treatment, like maybe even shock treatment, to erase whatever's in my brain that could erase him out of my brain so I wouldn't have to deal with him and the pain he caused me anymore. As though you can single that out in your brain. It doesn't even remotely make sense, does it? But I literally went to ask, is there anything that can be done to get rid of him in my head? It was that, it was so painful. It was like he was a tumor in my brain. Can you remove the tumor kind of thing? And that sounds completely insane, but I've heard other women say that. I would do anything if I could just get him out of my head like he never existed. So this pain is real for us. You know, it's really real for us. Well, you can't do that, so now what are you going to do, right? So my healing journey just involved several different therapists, a lot of workshops, a lot of time spent with you and my straight wife sisters. I have two very good girlfriends today that are straight wives. They're both straight wives. And having them as a support in day-to-day life is really nice because, you know, you can move forward and be in a good place. I feel pretty content and pretty happy. And then there's some random trigger out there somewhere that you feel like, I just lost 2 years or 3 years of my healing in a heartbeat. Like, how the hell did that just happen, right? But it does. Because trauma never goes away. It's going to be in your brain forever. It's just trying to find a place for it in your brain where it's not in the forefront anymore. I mean, you're not obsessing about what has happened to you anymore. And that's where, like, things like EMDR, which I did, with a therapist work. There's all kinds of different therapies for trauma. But I think also, too, women need to realize that this is a traumatic thing. Divorce alone is a traumatic thing. And by the way, we're not trying to compare our trauma with anybody else's trauma, whether it was somebody was attacked and raped or somebody was kidnapped as a child, or, I mean, think of all these traumas that can happen to people in life where they saw their parents killed in front of their eyes. I have a friend whose parents were murdered in front of them. There's no competition for trauma. It is what it is, and your pain is your pain. And it doesn't matter if somebody else has had it worse. It's great to acknowledge that. Well, thank God I didn't have to do that. That doesn't make your trauma go away, and it doesn't lessen your own pain, and it's really not helpful because it almost invalidates your pain. Does that make sense, Bonnie?
So many times when people would say to me how bad they feel for me, because on top of my trauma, my gay husband, of course, I lost both of my children, and people would say to me, well, I hate to say anything because look what you've gone through. And I really reassure people, what I've gone through does not negate what you're going through. You know, you can't measure pain and you can't measure trauma. And yes, I've gone through trauma, but you're going through trauma. And let's not compare it because that makes you feel even worse. It invalidates how you're feeling. You know, you almost feel guilty for feeling like that. And I always tell people, your pain's yours to deal with. Nobody can, you know, tell you that you don't have the right to deal with it, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so many times the people closest to us in our life will end up telling you, get over it, snap out of it. Haven't you given enough time? I mean, we've all heard these things. And, you know, I just spent all day yesterday with one of my straight wife friends, and one of the things that we were talking about over lunchtime was this very thing of the whole snap out of it thing, as though, oh, gee, if I could snap out of it, don't you think I would have done it 12 years ago? I mean, nobody wants to stay in pain. It's not like there's no silver lining for anybody to hold on to that level of pain. There's nothing about it, but it does need to be validated, and you're absolutely right. First of all, we should be grateful for what we do have, and that's part of healing, too, is to be grateful for what we do have. We're alive. We're not dead, right? The fact that we can maybe get up and go to a therapist, that's a blessing. A lot of people can't. right? So, you know, have gratitude for what you do have, but don't compare yourself to somebody else and think because they have it worse that you're being not grateful enough because you still have your own pain. Yours is your own to handle, to deal with on your own. And, you know, mental health, we had a whole discussion yesterday about mental health. It's a very, very serious thing. And just because somebody can't look at one of us and see maybe a physical disability that came as a result or something else external doesn't mean we're not carrying around maybe some of the worst pain of our life. And it does need to be validated. Again, that's why I love you so much, Bonnie, and the space that you provide for all of us to share ourselves with other people and for them with us, because you walk away and you are validated. I'm not the only one that went through this, and this is a real thing. And not only just a few of us, there's millions of us around the world. This is not an isolated case. This is more common than you think, but yet nobody talks about it. It is swept under the rug today, because the support is generally given to the gay, oppressed man who was forced to lie about who he was, get married to a woman for God's sake when he didn't want to, just to make his family or his church or his society or his whatever happy. Poor, poor, poor him. And the bleeding hearts go to his side of the fence, and yours is, oh, well, you know, you're fine. You'll be fine. Like it's not a big deal. But it's a big deal, because if women stay derailed in that emotional state, they suffer. And when I sit around those tables at your healing weekends, I see the pain in the faces of those women, and I don't feel as much pain today as I used to, but I was, as you remember, I was one of those women. My first healing weekend with you, I cried the entire weekend, and I couldn't stop. I literally couldn't control it. I was in such agony, but it was so helpful to hear that other women, not that I would want anybody to have to go through that, but that what I was feeling was pretty much what everybody else had felt as well. And that made me feel normal and human, and that I was okay in the way that I felt. And just knowing that you're okay is the start of your healing process, because a lot of us at one point, or some probably listening, still do blame themselves as though somehow they were supposed to be in control of this. If they were smarter or sharper or this or that, they would have known he was gay and they would have never married him, or they should have known in the marriage, or they blame themselves. Or even, do I hear this? And you know that women hear this all the time from their mothers-in-law. Well, he wasn't gay when he married you. What didn't you provide him, and how did you turn him gay? These are real things that come out of the mouths of mother-in-laws, if you can even believe it. You know that? We've talked about that, Bonnie. It sounds atrocious. I've heard that more than once.
Yeah, but one thing I want to say, Susan, tonight,
a dozen times.
When we were having our Zoom meeting tonight, one thing I wanted to assure women, and I think you'll agree with this also, many of us, when we got married to our gay husbands, were not educated about this. It's not like there was lots of information that you can go and say, oh, let me check out. What do I have to do with somebody? Why would you even think that a gay man would want to even go with us? Because we were growing up and we were taught to believe that gay people want people of the same sex. It doesn't equate to us. 2 and 2 is 4, but 2 and 2 is not 7. And so if it doesn't make any logical sense, and this man's falling in love with us and they're dating us and they're, you know, giving us what we need emotionally and making us feel good about ourselves, and they want to marry us and spend a lifetime with us, why would gay even enter into this? So I think a lot of times we blame ourselves because of lack of understanding. And I'm not going to say ignorance. It's lack of education, because there's so little out there to educate yourself with. So blaming yourself, and like you say, so many of our women, they blame themselves. Why didn't I see this? Why didn't I know? Well, how could you see it, and how could you know? Would you agree with that?
No. Absolutely. And there's a lot. These men will invest a lot in their manipulation because of what they want. And so, I don't know a single woman that I met through your organization that hasn't been gaslit to one extent or another. where, you know, we might bring something up, but then their response to that is not necessarily you're crazy, although we all got our own share of that, didn't we? But they will take something, they'll twist it into a, they'll give it a different narrative where we'll go, oh, okay, I guess I was looking at it wrong. So, you know, here's the thing my friend and I were saying yesterday, because we're talking about the whole fraudulent, the number of years lost to this fraudulent relationship and how women blame themselves. You know, again, you're not supposed to, if you marry someone, probably one of the most basic tenets of marriage that we probably would all agree with is that you should be able to trust each other. It's probably the single most important thing in any healthy relationship, whether it's you and a friend of your, a girlfriend of yours, or I don't know, a relationship with a good coworker, whatever it is there's a certain level of trust. Why would I marry a man I didn't trust? Why would any of us marry a man that we didn't trust? Why would we do that? We trust them because we're supposed to be able to trust them, so it wouldn't occur to us that they were lying to us. And, of course, over the years, we finally caught on, obviously. That's why, you know, people are listening to the show. I'm on it. You're leading it. Eventually, it all came into light. But it's okay to not have known. You just got caught. You got caught, like, going through the intersection, and you were in the intersection at the wrong place at the wrong time, and you met this guy, and you were just one of the unlucky ones that got stuck with this. And it's a cross to bear. It's not your fault. It is what it is. It's happened. The biggest thing is, now what do I do? The now what do I do is the most important thing, because your life is valuable. You're a valuable human being. And at first you might not feel like you're very valuable. I mean, I remember times where I just prayed to God that I wouldn't even wake up the next morning because I was just in a lot of pain. And I didn't know how to make it go away. And I'm very honest about that, and I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I'm very honest about that. I don't think I would have taken my own life, but I thought maybe if God or the power in the universe out there took it for me, that would make it better for my kids. I know it sounds like magical thinking, but I had a lot of magical thinking back then because I didn't know what else to do. But I would say that first thing is to instant, you know, as soon as you can, getting, you know, dealing with the situation, is to learn as much about the dynamics of what has happened to you so that you can stop blaming yourself. Because in order for you to keep going with the work, you have to love yourself enough to know you deserve it. And if you don't love yourself enough to deserve to be better, you're not going to put in the work. You're going to say, I deserve it. I deserve to be miserable. I deserve to live this wretched life. I don't deserve better than what I've already gotten. And of course you do. You absolutely do. But so many women are just left feeling like they're just a shell of their former selves, because these men will chip and chip and chip and chip and chip and chip away until there's so little left by the time that they leave. You're just picking yourself up the next day and feeding yourself or getting into a shower sounds, it just feels insurmountable. And so I think that trying to gain self-esteem is a really huge thing that takes a lot of work. But learning about the dynamics of the gay man, this is where your materials come in, by the way. This is where your books and all the things that you have printed, all the things you have online, are really, really important for women to educate themselves. It's too late to educate themselves before they got married. It's already done deal, right? Unless there's women looking, thinking, well, I think my fiance might be gay. Now's a good time to learn the signs, right? Now's a good time to figure this out before you make this mistake. But most of the people that are involved with you are not in that phase. It's already a done deal. It's already happened. They've been married for years, had kids, what have you. But learn as much as you can so you can understand how the dynamic even happened to begin with. And then you can pull yourself out of it and look at yourself from afar, like you're a third person looking at yourself, and maybe feel some compassion for her. Like, shoot, wow, she was really in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I think when you can look at yourself that way with some compassion rather than self-hatred, because there's a lot of self-hatred that happens because these husbands set us up to feel that, right? they've hated us for a long time. I said this 2 weeks ago, is that, you know, we're not treated well by these gay husbands because every time they look at us, we are the physical embodiment of what they don't want. They hate us. They hate what we represent. They don't want a straight woman. They want a gay man. And they feel like they're forced to have to be with you for whatever their own personal reasons are. So by the time that relationship dissolves, we, like I say, we are our shell of our former self. So I don't know if that makes sense or not, that we really need to start with understanding the dynamics of what the hell just happened. It's like, you know, it's like when the police come out to take a look at the car accident to try to find who ran the light and who did this and who did that. We need to examine that in our own world. Who is he? Where did he come from? Why did he do this to anyone, much less me? How did I get involved in it? What did I see or not see? For a lot of this is why did I stay in it for a long time? But, you know, we're married. We want to stay in our marriages. We don't want to get divorced. Everybody who gets divorced always says, oh, I wish I would have done it sooner. But you got to give yourself credit for giving it a lot of work, putting in the work, right, before you got divorced. That's actually commendable. But don't lose any more years of your life staying in that mental state. Put yourself in a position, like I say, where you can look at yourself from afar and have compassion for that woman who got stuck in this situation through no fault of her own, and tell her, pretend that she is a friend of yours, and tell her what you would tell a friend. We don't tell ourselves what we would tell a friend. What would we tell our friend? It's not your fault. You're a wonderful person. You're a kind person. You're a beautiful person. You're this, this person. You wouldn't ever tell your friend the things that we tell ourselves. So you have to look at yourself, like you say, from a third person looking at yourself, and have compassion for yourself and be your own friend. I know it sounds trite, Bonnie. I know it sounds like that, but I'm dead serious.
You know what?
And I still do that myself today.
I think it sounds beautiful because I think that's such a perfect way to respond to women. If you were talking to a friend, what would you tell them? And I think that really is the whole issue, that a lot of times we're so much harder on ourselves than we would be on other people. But I think that's also, like you said, the gay lighting over the years of making us feel inadequate, of making us feel unworthy, unwanted, you know, that we're not desirable, for all of the ways they stripped us down to nothing, that it's easy to place self-blame on it when it has nothing to do with us, nothing, and I mean nothing. And it's so funny because tonight in our Zoom meeting, we were talking about you, and we had mentioned a lesson that you taught, that when you talked about when you married your husband, how you went to your therapist and they were telling you not to look for somebody who's going to make you excited and feel good, look for somebody stable who's not going to be, you know, just left you for your body. And that's kind of why you were able to excuse this word, but settle for someone who was not worthy of you. And one of our other women had brought it up that, you know, she was in the same boat. She said, I know what feeling excited meant. And when I met my husband, I didn't have any of that excitement. But I felt maybe that's not that important. You know, it's important to have the stability. But I think we're young when we go through these things, and a lot of times we don't realize. We're older, like in your case, you were older going through this stuff. And then you thought, well, it should just be like the sparkling and the feeling excited. There has to be more to it. But whatever we do, we're too hard on ourselves. Because they've been blaming us for so many years, we fall into that blame trap and we accept that blame. And I think that's what you're saying. Yeah. You cannot allow yourself to be part of that, correct?
Not at all. And you might not even know you're doing it to yourself. That's why, like I said, you need to look at yourself like a third person looking at yourself from afar, as opposed to just, I don't know if that may even remotely make sense, as opposed to always being in your own self all the time.
Right.
Look at yourself as though that is a separate person. What would I want to do to help that person if that were my friend? that were uh-huh. someone that I loved, I cared about, your sister, whatever, what would I want to do? What messages would I want to give this person?
Right.
And that's not, you know, and we're not talking about fabricating it. We're talking about this real person has a lot of amazing, wonderful qualities that this other person tried to suck dry to his own benefit to keep her right where he wanted to keep her. I mean, it's really like not dissimilar to a physically abusive marriage, maybe to a straight man, where he has to belittle her to the point where she feels she can't even leave. And it's a psychological game that was played with us that we did not know was even happening. It's like it happens slowly over a period of time. It doesn't happen like the day after you get married or the month after you get married. It's kind of a slow drip torture over a longer period of time, where one day you really wake up and you even want to know where that person went. I remember right afterwards when I was saying to myself, now what? I went, where did Susan go? Where did she go? Because I didn't even recognize myself anymore from before I had met my ex-husband, Matt. I didn't even know where she went. Well, I mean, I know now where she went. I was chipped away at and chipped away at and chipped away at until everything that made me was taken away, so I could just be this kind of ghost self in this marriage because that's what he wanted. And so it wasn't even though I was conscious of this happening. And I think most of the women out there that can agree, it wasn't like a conscious thing of he's trying to do evil things to me. I mean, they did evil things and they said evil things, and we knew that happened. But that slow chipping away with the passive-aggressive behaviors and all those other things that they did to sort of keep us right where they wanted us for so many years took a toll on us. So it's also magical thinking to think that we're going to become our old selves overnight. It's going to be a process. It's going to be one foot in front of another, one day after another, one week, one year after another, to get to your new self. You're never going to go back to your old self because nobody ever can go back to their old self after experiencing trauma. That's just life. You're a new
person. And sometimes
yourself.
You're better off not going back there. But the other thing that I
want
to bring up to you, Susan, unfortunately, is that our time is running out. So I'm going to give you an assignment for our next show in a couple of weeks during the holidays when people really need your support. I would like if you could make a list, you know, for people who are listening to this, and talk about the messages that you've been given and how you get past them. So maybe you could think of 8 or 10 messages that you heard during your marriage from your husband, and now that you're saying you're talking to that third party, what would you say to those third parties? So if you could put a list of the terrible things that he said, and now you're giving advice to that same person, even though it's you, but it's not supposed to be you, what you would tell that person? Would you be able to do that for us?
Absolutely. For sure. Absolutely. Be more than happy.
That would be wonderful. And we'll look forward to having you back between our hardest season, which is, you know, between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So on one of those Sunday nights when you're free. That'll really help women as they move to the new year. So whenever I'm on the phone with you, the problem is that the time just goes so fast because everything you say is just so beautiful. And I really appreciate it, and we'll be looking forward to having you back in a few weeks. Next week, I'm going to have my friend Mike from California, from Orange County on. Mike, who's a private eye, and is going to give our women really good advice on how to catch your husband cheating or what you need to know about your husband's cheating. Mike is nice enough to come every year to our show and talk to us more about new methods and new ways, so he'll be on with me next week. And then in a couple more weeks after during the holidays, Susan will be back with us. Susan, I love you. Thank you so much for being part of this network and making people's lives better.
Well, I love you too. And as I've said before, if I can take the pain that I've been through and I can help one person, have her just see her have a better life and better outcome from this, it will have all been worth it. And I mean that.
Yeah, well, don't worry about one person. You've helped many people, and I always get that feedback, so thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, my heart's in it
all
for
right.
all these women.
Everybody have a wonderful week. Susan, I love you, and I'll talk to you
soon.
Love
you, too.
All right, take
care.
Good night,
everyone.
Bye-bye.